Okay, so we left off on Thursday. We were talking a little bit about that Gemara in Masechet Shabbos in the third parak that seems to ignore the issue of Psik Reisha in discussing the issue of Mitzarif. The question is, what happened? Where is Psik Reisha? So this led some to believe that maybe there's no Psik Reisha by the Rabbanan. So we spoke a little bit about this, but we didn't want to go down that route. So the Ramban had another Yisod, the Ramban develops the Yisod that maybe the reason why Psik Reisha isn't mentioned there is because it's not a Psik Reisha. Why is it not a Psik Reisha? So the Ramban gives you a couple of scientific reasons why it's not a Psik Reisha. And he says, well, how do you know that it's reached the point of Tziruf yet? How do you know? Not everything has always reached the point of Tziruf. Well, how do you know for Kippur? Maybe it's already been Mitzuruf. Maybe it was ready Tziruf. I didn't even realize it. So since there's certain pieces of information that you're not aware of right now, at the end of the day, you can't call it Psik Reisha. You only call it Psik Reisha when I know for a fact that what I'm going to do is going to leave the Dei Melacha. If there's any reason to believe that that may not happen, so then that's not going to be a Psik Reisha. So this Ramban is very, very critical, because the Ramban is addressing, really fundamentally, conceptually, a different type of a suffix. We have a lot of sfeikus in life, a lot of things. We spend most of our life trying to figure out what in the world to do with sfeikus. People don't major in who they're going to marry, what they're going to do for a job, we're going to live, we're going to send the kids to school. Constantly. And then when you figure out everything, then you have to figure out the next stage for your children's sfeikus, then your grandchildren. You have so many sfeikus. That's what Kacha said. We have to try to work on sfeikus. So there are fundamentally different kinds of sfeikus in life. There are some sfeikus that we would call in a sense sfeikus lahabo. That means we have every piece of information available to man in front of us right now. But at the end of the day, how is that information going to play out? What's going to happen in the future? So we don't have Ruch HaKadosh. Most of us have Ruch HaKadosh, myself included. We're not Nevi'im. So we have no idea what's going to happen in the future. There are a lot of things that are still up in the air. It's not that we haven't done our due diligence. Not that we haven't done our study. We have all the information in front of us. And now what? And also be saying there's still a suffix that's going to happen. It's like the weathermen. You hear the weathermen, they really work really hard, the weathermen. It's a good profession. If you really want to be a weatherman, it's a good profession. Because as they say, it's the only profession you can be wrong 80% of the time and still get a good salary. So the weatherman does all the due diligence. They figure out all the facts. And they have all the facts in front of them. They're telling you right now, Sunday at 12:15, the barometric pressure is as well. And right now, the storm is sitting in the middle of Nebraska. And right now, the jet stream is around. Everything, all the facts in front of them. At the end of the day, there are things that change in the future. Sometimes the jet stream goes Azoyan. Sometimes this goes Azoyan. Sometimes this new, the air mass from the north switch teams on. A lot of things happen in Lahabo. So there are sveikas that are no longer Lahabo. That's one type of sveik. Then you have other sveikas, where there are sveikas, l'sha'avar. That means the reason why I'm a supik right now is because I'm not privy to all the information that is theoretically available. It may not be attainable. It may not be available to a human being, but the facts are in place right now. So right now, there's an air mass something's happened in the Pacific Ocean now that is absolutely has a major impact what the weather is going to be next week. So the thing is, I push to know what it is. I haven't gone to the Pacific Ocean. My radar's not working. I haven't gone to the Pacific Ocean. I haven't studied the water, the currents there. I don't know what that information is. That's a different kind of a suffix. That's a suffix l'sha'avar. It means there are pieces of information that I'm not privy to. Again, at the end of the day, statistically, mathematically, it's the same 50-50 kind of a suffix. But one could have conceived that maybe halakhically it would be different. So the Ramban is dispelling that idea. Ramban is dispelling that notion that just because the suffix is a different kind of a suffix, that doesn't really matter in terms of labeling something as a dav shem miskaver. At the end of the day, if the odds are still in your favor, they're still 50-50, it still is a blight, the suffix is shuffle. So whenever you have a suffix, a shuffle, zelzad, a suffix, a shuffle, and that's it, finished. And don't, you don't have to worry about it. So comes the Ramban, and in effect gives us two different types, conceptually, two different types of dav shem miskaver. There's a Dov Hashem Iskavens Lahabo, and there's a Dov Hashem Iskavens L'sha'ava, but at the end of the day, they're all the same. In the end of the day, there's not enough community between them. So this Ramban is a highly, highly controversial Ramban, and this is, as I mentioned the very end of the year on Thursday, this is Yaduah Mefursam, as the Machloekis between the Taz and the Taz, what's going on? So it's Rabbi Kiveger, it's a famous Rabbi Kiveger in Tzbich. Anyone else start to learn your day? Yeah, no? So we got a young crowd, pre-Tzbicha days, okay. So maybe next year, okay. So there's a famous Rabbi Kiveger in the first Sibbut in Shulchan Aruch in Pei Zayin. that Hilchus Basa B'Cholov. Rabbi Akiva is commenting on a Ramah. Ramah discussed the following shayla. We usually think about Basa B'Cholov as not eating Basa B'Cholov, which is 90% of the time that's the shayla. But every once in a while, we run the shayla of Bishul Basa B'Cholov as well. So it's an Issa D'Raisa, Allah Savashim, the day, says the Chobish, Allah Savashim, the B'Cholov, Imo, there's an Issa D'Raisa to be Mavashim, Basa B'Cholov. So the Ramah discussed the following shayla. What's the din if I'm camping out somewhere, and there's this fire, and beautiful, you know, wonderful fire going, it's at a campsite, and there are Jews there, I'm from Jews there, Goyim there, and everyone has their pots, and they're all, you know, have their pots hanging over the fire. So what's wrong? I have my kosher food over here, the Goy has his tray for food, 10 feet away, it's all the same campfire, there's no bleas, because they're using the same fire, it's not the same oven, there's no bleas, there's no zeyah, there's nothing. My pots are here, your pots are here, inshallah, my Yisrael, what could possibly be wrong? So comes the Ramon and discusses, what could it be if I go ahead and I start to stir the coals? The coals that go into the well, noise increases, so I'm Yeshiva Bacha, I don't really know how to stir coals, but I remember that increases the Chaf, there's a sugi about stirring coals, so it probably works. So I try to be, take a stick and I start, like the Yeshiva Shah guys by beer chametz. You know, these guys, no one really knows what they're doing. Always want to be, Cub Scouts, the guy thinks he knows what he's doing, and he starts to, stir the coals, and the whole thing goes out anyway. But, so this guy's stirring other coals over here, to try to get this fire to work a little bit better. So Ramah says, wait a second, penalty mark down, says the Ramah. You may be in violation of an Issa D'Raisa. What's the Issa D'Raisa? Well, Savashim Bi B'Chol Avimu. What's the Savashim? I'm cooking a pot of kosher chill, whatever. True. But you're stirring the coals. Stirring the coals is enhancing the bishul, all the pots that are out. All the pots are now getting hotter. And the goy's pot, what do you know what's in the goy's pot? So maybe inside the goy's pot is Bas Mok. You know, where's the goy? What's inside? What's on his pot? There may be Bas B'Cholov. He's cooking a stew with meat and milk inside it. So that would be a problem. That would be a very, very serious problem. So probably some of you are wondering, what kind of Bas B'Cholov? The meat's treif anyway. What kind of Bas B'Cholov is that? Not so simple. So if the guy is cooking ham, cooking bacon with milk, then I don't know what recipes would require bacon and milk. I don't know what, what people are going to eat. Probably bacon and what?
Bacon and milk.
Bacon and cheese? Yeah. Okay.
Bacon and eggs.
Bacon and eggs.
Cheese and eggs.
Cheese and eggs. Okay, egg and cheese. Bacon and cheese. Okay, goes. Those are so green eggs and ham. No, was that the Sam I am? No, was that who's the guy? Still around. Wasn't that the guy?
Yeah.
Sam I am. Okay. Sam. Yeah, okay. So this guy has ham and cheese inside, cooking away in a stew inside his pot. So, if that would be what he's cooking, that would be gavaldik. Why would that be gavaldik? Because chazir is a min behemoth tamea. And min behemoth tamea isn't subject to lo savashik di b'chol avimah. Because lo savashik di b'chol avimah, the gemara in chulin has a drash. A gedi is a kosher animal. It doesn't only mean a goat. A gedi, the Tosh Rapeh says a gedi means a gedi. It can mean a sack. It can mean a para. It can mean any domesticated animal. Zeb, maybe. It's possible. No. Did we talk about that yesterday? What's it called? What do you call it?
Zebo.
So maybe that is, maybe it's not, we're not sure. But a cow or a goat or a sheep, those are real problems. A chazer, camels, those kinds of things, that's not bas b'chol b'chlal. So that would be okay. So if the goy would only be cooking his chazer together with milk, that would be great. Problem is, what if it's not a chazer? What if it's a min behemoth today, a tahora? It just wasn't shechted, it's b'san aveila. The goy went to the goyish treifa butcher store and he bought himself a piece of beef, and now he's cooking his beef together with his milk in a pot, so that could be basa b'cholov. Now the truth is, if a person eats that basa b'cholov, so maybe what? Who knows? Maybe we'd apply what principle to that? Maybe we'd say what? Maybe we'd say Enes HaChalasur. So that's the sugya in the 8th Pekka Masechas Chulin. Maybe we'd say Enes HaChalasur in that. But like Gabi Bishul, how do you say Enes HaChalasur? It's just the Lavashul Behemoth Tameya. To Lavashul, sorry, Besan Avela. So if a person is cooking, let's say about the Jew. A Jew is cooking Besar from Behemoth Mintahora. It just happens to be Nevelas. If you take a piece of Nevela, a piece of Terefa, and you cook it with milk. So Avada, that's an Isidereisbel Savashul. You can't hide behind Enes HaChalasur. There's always a Bishul on non-kosher meat. So Avada and Avada, to cook kosher species of meat together with milk is an Isidereisa. So here I'm not really cooking it. Here I'm stirring the coals. I want my cholent to improve. I don't really care about the goy's cholent. I don't even know what's in the goy's cholent pot. I have no idea what he's eating in the cholent pot. So the Ramah discusses the whole shayla, is that a problem or not a problem? So Rabbi Kivega has a long chiddush of Rabbi Kivega on the spot in Yeridei in Simpei Zayin. Rabbi Kivega writes, he thinks it's a real problem. It's a very, very serious problem. Why? He says, because He thinks that this is a big problem. I'm doing bishul, and he says that even though I'm not intending on doing bishul, and maybe one would hide behind davar she'eino miskaven, he says no, that's not a davar she'eino miskaven. You know that's not a davar she'eino miskaven. Why is it not a davar she'eino miskaven? Because that's a what? It's a psik reisha. Wait a second, what psik reisha is that? Psik reisha means that I know for a fact that the chair is going to make a hole. I'm dragging a very, very heavy chair, and I'm certain that it's going to make a hole. Here, I have no idea. In the end of the day, I don't know. I'm not going to ask the guy. I'm afraid to ask the guy. So comes the Kivag and says, that's not gracious. So Kivag says, no. That's called the psik reisha. Why is it called psik reisha? So Kivag coined a new phrase. You know what the term Kivag coined was? That's called the what? A suffix psikratia. That's a suffix psikratia. Because if there's meat in the pot, so then that's a vadia psikratia. That's not a shabbat, a vadia psikratia. And if there's no meat in the pot, so then great, then it's wonderful. But I don't know whether there's meat in the pot or not. So that's a suffix. So says Rabbi Kivek, the suffix says, well, there's an isurim. So it's a suffix that I saw the chumra. Maybe you're violating losavashim dibichalavimo. Maybe you're not violating losavashim dibichalavimo. Therefore, you have to be machmer b'tam suffix that I saw the chumra. And you can't hide behind davar she'eino miskaven, because this is not a davar she'eino miskaven. This is a suffix secretion. So Kivega continues. It's a long one piece. Kivega says, what? Who am I kidding? It's a suffix secretion. Isn't this a steer in terms? Doesn't the word secretion automatically conjure up the image of ados and suffix? Isn't this a contradiction? I can call the Vavir and Sofik in the same breath. So the Kivega says no. He says go to all the cases of Davshim with Kavin and Shas, and you'll notice that they're all Svekis of what? They're all Svekis of Mokhara Svekis? Mokhara, they're all Svekis of Lahaba. Every case of Davshim with Kavin, you name it, is a Sofik Lahaba. Here it's a Sofik Lashavar. Says with the Kivega, Sofik Lashavar, it's a Sofik whether you have a psikresh or not. That's a different kind of a Sofik. And a suffix, whether you have a secretion or not, has blibed a suffix deraisa. It's a suffix bishul mechav deraisa, and therefore suffix deraisa lechumra. So in one fell swoop, the Kivega just said that just because there's a suffix here, just because there's a 50-50 chance whether you're going to violate an iser, that in itself is not a matir. That's not the head of davshim miskaven. In order to fall under the heading of davshim miskaven, it has to be a type of a suffix that's a suffix to be determined. If the suffix is already on events that are there, on facts that are there, that you just haven't bothered to figure out, or even if you can't actually figure them out, well, the ma'isa, the metzias is there, it's just you don't know what the answer is, that is not a davshim miskaven. That is a suffix segregation, and a suffix segregation is no better than any other suffix that writes in the chumra. It's a famous chumra for Bikivega. So Bikivega himself concedes that he is against some poskim, most notably the Taz. The Taz is addressing an issue we're going to talk about hopefully a little bit later on today and tomorrow. Another famous example of a psikration that appears in the Gemara. The Gemara discusses trapping. The Gemara says a guy walks into a room and he wants to close the door, and he knows that there's a deer. He knows there's an animal inside the room, and he's not particularly interested in catching that animal. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's davar she'eino miskaven. So maybe Kenza and davar she'eino miskaven, maybe it will be okay. So comes the Gemara and says, davar she'eino miskaven, what do you mean? If you see the animal there, what is it? No? Subsegration. So that's the sugya b'sachas beitz and daf lamed vav. Is that a davar she'eino miskaven? Subsegration shot. So comes the Taz and says, what would the din be? Person walks into a room and he doesn't know there's a deer there. He has no idea what's going on. Or the case that the Rishayim discussed, he wants to close a box and he doesn't know whether flies in the box or not. He has no idea what's going on. He doesn't know. He didn't bother to look. He can't look. He can't see. He's not sure what's going on. So says the Taz, so then close the door. What's the big deal? Says the Taz, how can you ask for closing the door? Close mind, you don't know that the deer is there. Close mind, you don't know that the flies are there. So then by definition, it's not called psikratia. The Taz says psikratia by definition requires that it be certain, that it be vadol, that it be absolute, you know, certainty, belishim suffix. So comes Rabbi Kivega, I'm sorry, comes the Taz and says, if for whatever reason you don't have that certainty, for whatever reason you haven't met that demarcation of 100% certainty, whatever the number, maybe segregation is 51%, maybe it's 75%, I don't know, whatever the number is, whatever the degree of certainty is necessary to be labeled as a segregation, Kozman, you haven't met that level, I don't care why you haven't met that level, machpatlik, whether the nature of your suffering is lahaba or lashava, what in the world is the difference? Says the Taz, that's also life, the davar she'eino miskaven. So Rabbi Kivega concedes against the Taz, because according to Rabbi Kivega's new Hagadara, that a suffix l'sha'avar is not called a Yidavashim Miskavin, but it's rather a suffix to Gresha, the Taz is describing a suffix l'sha'avar. He's describing, I don't know what the facts are. I didn't do my due diligence. I don't know whether there's a deer in the house. I don't know whether there are flies in the box. So not knowing there's a deer in the house is the halacha equivalent of not knowing what's in the goy's pot, to which Rabbi Kivega said it's a problem with their answer, and according to the Taz, it's Tachamut l'lechet chila. So this is the running machlokes. Machlokes, a gedai le'ailam, gedai le'acharonim. What is a suffix segresha? Is a suffix segresha just the equivalent of Dov Shem Miskave? That's what the Taz says, the Tet Gomor. What do I say? That a suffix segresha is the suffix deraisa l'chumra. Now, let's look for a moment into the worldview of Rabbi Kivega for a second. Let's call this a suffix segresha. And ask without somebody there, it's b'chumra. Do you think all Rishonim would agree to that? Do you think all Rishonim would agree to this from Kivega for other reasons? Forget about the task for a second. Let's say Kivega is right. Let's say it's Agdara, his lumpus is right, that it is a psik ratio. It's a shot of a psik ratio. Does that automatically mean it's also? What's lacking here?
Ramban would say that.
Well, forget the Ramban. I misled you by quoting the Ramban first. If you're just looking in a vacuum with this sheet, this Rabbi Kivega, not in a total vacuum, you know or you've heard of Rishonim from last week. You came to Shilin. So you heard a little bit about Psik Resha. You've scratched the surface of Psik Resha a little bit. Everyone would agree to Rabbi Kivega's assessment that when you have a suffix Psik Resha, you can't stir the coals because suffix the rice of the chumrah.
But if Psik Resha is something to Rabbanan, then...
Well, this is Bas Bechal. This is Bas Bechal. Real serious stuff. So Rabbi Kivega, I wonder, I'm standing there over my fireplace. Okay, I got my pot, the guy's got his pot. I don't know what's inside the guy's pot. No problem, I'm allowed to go and stir these coals, even though it's cooking this up. And Kivega says, you can't do that. Safi derai isa l'chumra. Psik resha. Every Risha would say that's okay. That's a problem. Forget Ramban's. Every Risha, you know. We've been the whole week of this stuff. What Risha would laugh at this? Yeah, not maybe. I agree with you, except for the word maybe. It's definitely not maybe. Echpatli, vayesh bagoy. I don't know who the card is. I couldn't care with the camper down the other end of the campsite is cooking in his pot. Echpatli, whether he has stew and milk together, whether he's cooking a bacon and eggs, or screen eggs and ham. I don't know what he's got in there. I couldn't care less if he's got in there. So according to the Aruch, it's a no-brainer. This is going to be what? This is going to be what? But l'chat chila. Call it a suffix psik resha. Guess what? The Urchel outdo you. Call it a vadif psik resha. It's still what? It's still what? Because it's psik resha l'nichle. So obviously, Rabbi Kivega is going down the Urch. He himself says, I'm not saying the Urch, because we don't pass like the Urch. We pass like Taisvis. So we accept the view of Taisvis in Shulchan Aruch. At least we pass, seem to pass like Taisvis. So we have a real serious problem here. We have a suffix deraisa l'chumra. No, who's going to question Rabbi Kivega nochamu? Who's going to bother? Who's going to challenge Rabbi Kivega? Even according to Tosis, the psik resha, the lo nichale, is only the rabbanon. And if it's only the rabbanon, so we should say, wait a second. Instead of saying safek derais l'chumra, what should we say? Safek derabbanon le kula. Rabbi Kivega agrees to that also with Teres Vada. He agrees that we don't really know ultimately what's in the pot. If we knew what was in the pot, then I understand we would have to answer it, notwithstanding the fact that it's psik resha lo nichale. But since we don't even know what's in the pot, so we're only answering it with Torah Sofik, so how can Rabbi Kivega throw a book at you and say it's a Sofik deraisa, gevalt geshrigin der? What's for deraisa? With deraisa, I'm already home free. Shabbos kuf gimel min aleph. Everybody knows this. It's only a derabbanan anyway. What mistake did I just make? I set you guys up totally, and you all fell for it. Almost all of you.
Yes, sir.
No. The Taisa sheet, the kuf gimel min aleph Shabbos, right? The Gemara says, "Latzuchim yav dechavrei." So, psik resha lo nichalei is only a derabbanan, right? Shabbos kuf gimel, right? But medva memurim Tosfos says that psik resha lo nichalei is only a derabbanan. That's by Shabbos, because you always have lachas machshavas to solve the problem. Well, you don't really mean lachas machshavas. What you really meant was malacha what? Yeah, that's it. It's all the same thing. You're 15 friends. It's close enough, right? But Bamedim Bamamurim, that Psik Resha Lo Nichalei Zeh Derabanan, that's by what? By Hilchas Shabbos. Aber by Kol HaTorah Kula, unless you hold like the Aruch. You hold like the Aruch. The Aruch said it by Kol HaTorah Kula. But if you don't know from the Aruch, if you hold that Psik Resha Lo Nichalei is not a Het HaGomor, rather it's also with the Rabbanan and Shabbos only because of Melechas Blach Shetzich LaGufa, that Kula ain't going to help you outside of Hilchas Shabbos. Now, Bas B'cholov is not called Hilchas Shabbos, it's called Tarkula. So therefore, Kiveg is back in business. So you guys all fell for what mistake? You guys are still falling for this mistake. Who did you all think like? You were all misled. You all were led down the wrong path to think that, oh yeah, it's a great Shalom Yichazon Terabonin, yeah, no problem. Shabbos, called Tarkula, it's all the same thing. What's the difference, right? Yeah, it's like Tosfos. Against who? Who attacked Tosfos? For Bechonis, Kasha. Kasha Tzum against Tosfos. There's Alfin Yayin, Super Stuff Off, right? Just ring a bell. Somewhere, right? It keeps on wanting, it's coming back. It never ends. Integration just never ends. It just has children and grandchildren. So it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I tell you, this man's going to end soon. We're still in this integration story. So Rabbi say, at the end of the day, Rabbi Kiveg wiped with his chumrah. You can't deflect it by saying Safi Terabana Mekula. You can't hide behind Psikresh Lo Nikle, because we don't even Paschal like the Aruch. We don't like the Rambam. Rabbi Kiveg preceded Reb Chaim, so he was free to say what he wanted. The conventional wisdom that we don't follow the Aruch, we follow Tosis. So it comes out that Rabbi Kiveg, again, unless you argue Rabbi Kiveg is fast, unless you say that Safi Psikresh doesn't exist, you like the Taz, then you're entitled to argue. But if you don't think the Taz is right, Rabbi Kiveg's Chashman is 100% right. So what's this Nakudas and Machlekes exactly? What are they fighting about? What do you think the din should be? Do you think the Tash should be right or the Kiveg should be right? It's conceptual. Do you think this new concept that Kiveg made up is right? I mean, at the end of the day, it's a suffix. I mean, they're both Shvekis. Yeah, that's the Tazis time, right? So what? Wherein lies the Machlekes Taz and Kiveg? What are they arguing about? Svek, this is not really a svek. This is a suffik. This is one suffik. There's only one suffik. It's a different kind of a suffik.
Something in the Shabbat and also in the Lassid.
What's the Lassid? There's no Lassid.
It's just both.
But you don't have both. I don't have both. I only have one. So what's the wellness of this muffle, I guess?
You're trying to
So start the ball rolling a little bit. What are you saying?
It matters whether or not you actually have
kavanah. So what are you saying? What are you saying? I heard that. Now what? What niku does that depend upon? You're almost there. You're at the tip.
Second action
is considered. Okay, you're saying it. Okay. L'chora, whenever you see a machloikis, ga'ayne oilam, inuchas tzigreishas, the same way we saw Machlekes Tosfos in the Aruch about the details of Psikresha. Is this a Psikresha problem? Not a problem. You have to always go back to the ABCs. What are the ABCs? Who developed the Yesoidah? Yesoidah is Luchas Psikresha. Rabbi Chanan is Yesoiding Sibis. Right? The ABCs of Psikresha are what is Pshat Psikresha? Wherein lies the difference between the Psikresha and Avashem Miskavi? That's where the whole Sibis starts. It starts and ends and everything in between, all boiled down to the same Rabbi Chanan. What exactly creates this phenomenon called Psikresha? This phenomenon, again, not everyone even understood this phenomenon. Not everyone accepted this phenomenon. Abaye, for years of his youth, didn't hear of it. Rava was Mechadish here. We went back in time and we found Rabbi Akiva probably helped from there. So there's a day in Kopsikresh. That's Nimni Vagomra, as I state in Halakha Gemara, Nimni Vagomra, Abaye, Rava, Dam, Trevai, might be Rabbi Shim Sikresh. So we've accepted this, it's become part of our Tarshim Bapeh, this cloud world Sikresh. So Rabbi Chanan developed the famous Yisoy, what is Pshat of Sikresha? And again, we use that lingo. Maybe get a bit of money. I think in the office. You guys can't even see that. No? So I'm sure you've heard the Chakir already. So we can go without it. The Chakir of Sikresha is what? Either it's what? Come on, give it to me, guys. It's either Psych 101, or it's what? Or it's Lomdus 101, okay? Either it's a Machshava issue, it's in the deep recesses of a person's innermost feelings and thoughts, that's Psych 101, that he most probably really wants to do. Okay, what do we say? No, this is Lomdus 101, namely, what do we call Rabbi Sai? Give it to me, give me the words, give them to me, come on, I'm waiting. What? Admaisa, very good. Okay, ABCs. Nope, knowing that, how do you think this relates to the Taz? How do you think this impacts? It's like your impacts on the Taz. according to the Psych 101, which is basically who the, in a sense, the Aruch, right, the one who says that once you have a lo nidah, we can't even discuss it, because l'maisa, you don't want it. If you go down the route of Chad Maisa, if you go down the route of Psych 101, of Ratzon Machshav, I really, really do want it. What makes you really want it, what makes you not really want it? You tell me. Wherein lies the difference in the psychology between Dov Shemitzkav and Psikresha? Why is it by Dov Shemitzkav we say, you probably don't really, not thinking about it? And whereas when you have a Psikresha, you are. What's it, sir? Simple math. What's the math? You don't know what's going to happen. If I know for a fact it's going to happen, then I'm focusing on it, it's on my radar screen. If I'm not really sure what's going to happen anyway, I kind of tune out. That's the difference. That's the basic psychology. One side of Rabbi Chanan. Dov Shemitzkavim, the guy's tuning out of. Psikresha, the guy's really, really, he's really gung-ho about it. Why? Because in one case he knows it's going to happen, in the other case he doesn't know what's going to happen. But the halacha all licked. The halacha's response is to what the person is thinking. Really, the game of Psikresha is being played out in the person's mind. And the difference is whether or not the label of Dov Shemitzkavim is Psikresha all depends on the mindset. Doesn't really matter what's going to be. Spanish is not really important. Get this one down. What really matters is the psych level. Base match doesn't really matter. To determine whether this is a Psikresha. It's about those first mistakes. Can you imagine the following? Okay? We're doing a psychological... Anyone taking psych classes? Who are you? Okay. So we're doing a psych experiment in a guy. We're trying to get into the deep recesses of his consciousness and trying to determine, does he really, really... Is he really thinking about this outcome or not? All right? That's the game. Name of the game. So we analyze him, we discuss with him, we throw through him, some experiments in his way. We're trying to get, does he really plan on this outcome happy or not? So all our research indicates that if he knows it's going to happen, he's probably thinking about it. And if he doesn't know it's going to happen, it's off his radar screen. So we run an experiment, we find out it's false. We say to him, listen, at the end of the day, we don't really know what's going to happen. We're not really sure what's going to happen. But the reason why we're not sure depends. We're not sure because it's the suffix l'sha'avar, or we're not sure because it's the suffix l'habo. This guy's psychology is so lovedus that, doctor, rabbi, because the suffix is a suffix l'sha'avar, I'm thinking about it a lot. Because that's a different kind of a suffix. But if it's a suffix l'habo, I'm not thinking about it so much. That conjures up images where we look at Masechta Shabbos of the lady who brings the tea to the husband and she spills it on, screams she burnt him, and she says, don't worry about it, it's klisheni, it's okay. And he says, good, Baruch Hashem, okay. Rabbi say, Lomdus is gevaldik and meridik, we're all for it, but there are certain things that happen in the Olam HaTachton that just don't work in the world of Lomdus. One of the biggest problems, sometimes people, it's a gevaldik to be a lambda, to think of chakiras and ma'is, look, but sometimes people go overboard and they use the chakiras and the lambdas to try to figure out, should I marry this girl, should I not marry this girl? Is it two dinim, is it one dinim, is she a gava, is she a chefza, you know that? The guy, I hear the most ridiculous things about making decisions in life. I'm just off the wall. So if we're trying to paskin up, that was the wrong word, but not paskinning. We're trying to psychoanalyze the person. That's the goal. We got, I don't want to bring him into this mess, but we'll call him Freud. Okay, he's still the other day, he's one of us. So, Freud is not working. The psychologists are not, they're not working. Like Freud, who's the other guy? What? No one else?
Skinner.
Who? Young. What? Pavlo? I don't know. The multi-stage psychology. Okay. Somebody. Piaget. Okay, somebody. There you go, Piaget. Okay. So Piaget is trying to analyze, trying to figure out what's in the deep recesses of the guy's mind. So we came to the conclusion that this nutcase over here thinks in Lomdusha terms. He thinks that if it's a Sophic Lashava, then I'm really, really, really on board. If it's a Sophic Lashava, then I'm not so on board. Come on, Mishalei Tzadis. Obviously, if you're in the world of psychology 101, the only thing that matters is the suffix versus bad. That's it. Don't give me a lumdisha story, whether it's this kind of suffix, yadam kind of suffix, shpenam kind of suffix. All that matters is, if it's not terz bad, they say it's not on my radar screen, it's not on my radar screen. That's the dovashem is kavis, dishkim psikresha. So according to the Aruch's Lomdus, that everything depends upon psychology, so this arbitrary distinction of Reb Kivega, this is a Yerim kind of a suffix, Yerim kind of a suffix, the whole thing doesn't make any sense, because those are Chilukim and Lomdus, not Chilukim in the person's mindset. But, if you leave the world of psychology, which is basically tantamount to leaving the world of who? Of leaving the world of the Aruch, and you're entering into the world of Tosfos, which is, by the way, how we pass it. You're entering into the world of Tosfos, that the real Geirin is the notion of combining and making a Chad Maisa. And why is it that Dovah Shem Miskavet is not a Chad Maisa? What's the answer? Because you don't know that A is going to lead to B. You're doing A, and you have no way of knowing that A is going to lead to B. So it's that uncertainty of the relationship between A leading to B that qualifies the Dovah Shem Miskavet. When you have Sofet L'Sha'avar, it's a different kind of declaration, a different kind of determination. It's not a Sofet that A is going to lead to B. What are we Mesufik about? We don't even know whether A and B are together now. We don't know what we have in front of us. That's a different kind of a Sofek. And that Lomdish, a different kind of a Sofek, may force us to say, wait a second. We don't know. It's not that we don't know where the A is going to lead to B. We don't know right now by Shehu Shom what relationship will act thereof is between A and B. And therefore, we have a 50-50 Sofek whether we have a psych ratio right smack in front of us right now. And what do you do when you have a Sofek with the psych ratio? Well, if it's a Deraisa de Kishayla, then you have a problem. I, it's lo nichale, but that's only in Shabbos, not called Terakula. This is exactly what Kivega says. So it's usually understood in the other Yeshivas that the Machlokes to Taz and Kivega is almost like the restating of the Machlokes to Aruch and the other Rishonim, again, assuming the Lomdus of Rebbe Chanan. So it would come out, according to, if this is all right, this would lead us at the side of the Machmirim. This would give great credibility to Rebbe Kivega. This would take away from the Taz, because we don't want to be Meshubba to the Aruch. We want to buy into Taizos, that's how we pass him in Uchas Psik Reishas. That would give a tremendous boost of credibility to the Shita of Rabbi Kivega. Again, it's an interesting Lomdus. I'm not saying 100% L'maisa with Chayshish with Rabbi Kivega. Don't forget, there are Rishonim against Rabbi Kivega. First and foremost, who's against Rabbi Kivega? What? No, forget about the Aruch. The Rabban. That's how we got into this in the first place. Why are we talking about this? Because we asked the question, what happened to the creation of Tzuki of Mitzaref? So we saw some of the Tirus that we weren't so excited about. The Tirus that we really, really liked was the Ramban. The Ramban says not a Psik Reisha. Why is not a Psik Reisha? So the Ramban gave you descriptions of Sfeikus L'Sha'avar, which thereby alleviated the Psik Reisha problems. So the Ramban is siding with the Taz. Now, we don't want to say the Ramban sided with the Taz because he holds like the Aruch. That's probably not true. So it's a nice lumbus, a fancy lumbus, according to Buchanan's categories. So the sheet is the Taz, we take a line up properly with the Aruch and the other Rishonim. But not everyone is Meshubbeter, but Buchanan, Meshubbeter, Arsh, Tebel, Teres. So in Psach HaLocha, the Ramban, it should be Mechriah, a Rishon should be Mechriah and the Shaila. So the Mishnah Berurah, when he quotes this Machlokes, the Taz and the Kivegah, he discovered this Ramban. It wasn't my discovery, this line of the Machabas. Mishnah Berurah's Meidel Emes, that the Ramban, that line in the Ramban, is masking to the Taz. Mishnah Berurah says that even though it's quite possible that the Taz is really Emes LaHalacha, says he thinks maybe we can almost make a little bit of a split. Me'atzmai, the Mishnah Berurah says, along bi'alocha, submission to as well, he says maybe me'atzmai we can make the following split. Maybe we can argue that even according to Vikivager, if there's a shaila of a psikresha, suffix psikresha, the suffix l'sha'avar is a potential problem, it's not asa b'teres vada, it's only asa b'teres what? Teres suffix, suffix deraisa. L'chomer, Vikivager himself says that. The bishop asa b'chomer is a deraisa. What would the din be if we were dealing with something which, on worst case scenario, absolute worst case scenario, would only be a what? Would only be a derabbanan anyway. For whatever reason, I'll explain it's only a derabbanan. I'll knock it down to a derabbanan anyway. Even if I didn't mamash be a dime, it would only be a derabbanan. Something that would only be a derabbanan in worst case scenario, one could argue, even according to Rebbe Kivega, it would be okay. Why? Because maybe we'd have a right to say, suffix what? For derabbanan kula. So we're going to buy into Rabbi Akiva's longest. We're going to say a suffix l'shav is bipe the suffix. It's not a mutter. It's not a davshim. It's bipe the suffix, yes, sir. But by their eyes, you have to be mach. By their bones, you can be mekel. So the Mishabura says maybe we could almost meet Rabbi Akiva halfway. In the case of if you have a deer in the house, or you're not sure, so you don't know you have a deer in the house. You walk to the house, you can't see the deer. Maybe it's there, maybe it's not. You don't know. So maybe we should talk about refrain from closing the door because trapping a deer, say the sviya is a mister deer eyes. According to the Taz, it's hetagom. If you don't lose the deer, hetagom. But according to Bikvege, Ken's eye, we should be mach. But what if it's not a deer in a house, but it flies in a box? Flies in a box is only a derabanan. Why it flies only a derabanan? Because it's ain't b'mino nitsa. It's not normal to catch flies. I mean, you catch flies to get rid of them. It's not a dover that's, you don't get a degree in, you know, in how to become a hunter of flies. That's not, you know, considered to be a normal profession. Trapping deer, that's a halal dover. That's a skill. It's capturing flies. It's ain't b'mino nitsa. It's a Gemara in Shabbos. So says the Bishabura, since trapping flies, even b'chavan and mamish were the worst, only be a derabanan. If you're trapping, it worse is being done through a psikresha. Through a psikresha, so that maybe we'd have more of a right to be mekel. So we're willing to almost agree to Rabbi Akiva in Lomdus, but tachas l'mais in the taz we end up being right 9 out of 10 times because of it's a derabanan. So no. At the end of the day, so I have this case in front of me. I'm not sure whether there are flies in the box. I want to close the box. I don't know. So according to the Taz, head the gum. Even according to Mishtabura, it's basically okay anyway, I'll suffer. Why else would be mutter? Who else on the board would be mad to that? Close the box on the flies? Because it's a secret shalom. Michal, according to the Yerach, would be mutter stam. Why else might it be mutter? Don't forget, it's only the Rabbanon. So who would be mad to this outright? Even if it is a secret, what? The Mordechai Tzuvah Sedeshin. Even if it's mamish on the board, Mordechai Tzuvah Sedeshin. Even if it's mamish a vavet secret, still mutter because of the Mordechai Tzuvah Sedeshin. Again, Mordechai Tzuvah disagreed. So a lot of people are ending up in the same position for totally different reasons. Some are saying, who cares about psikreshes by their abundance? Some are saying, this is not a psikreshe altogether. Some are saying, yeah, it's a psikreshe, but it's a psikreshe on Nichalei. And some are saying, yeah, it's a suffix psikreshe, but it's a suffix on Lekula. So you have four different miurim to get to the same psak. So at the end of the day, everyone's going to end up being mouthed in this case if the suffix flies in the box, albeit for four very, very different reasons. Again, that's only if it's suffix. So we had an interesting shayla yesterday. An application of the shayla came up, Mamash Lamaisi yesterday. So we had who's involved with the garbage? Everyone's involved with the garbage in the next door, with the door, with the garage door. Yeah. Oh, you were after Shabbos, right? After Shabbos is mutter. Okay, but on Shabbos, so we have a lot of garbage like we had yesterday. So we have a dumpster next door building for the shul, so we could put everything into the dumpster and shred everything. Throw the whole world into the dumpster in this garbage. Okay, so. The only problem is that to get to the dumpster, you have to open up the garage door. So normally, you open up the garage door with a code. We're not going to do that on Shabbos. So they deactivate the code and you do the old style way. you pull up the door. Right? So apparently, when they set that up and then they turned off the system on Friday, so they forgot to disconnect the light of the garage from the door. So even though we opened the door manually. But unfortunately, when you open up the door, the light goes on. Like the refrigerator, right. So the first time around, we opened up the door, okay, so we didn't know that. We didn't know. Okay, fine. It happened. What's the Shiloh? That's going to close the door now. So I wasn't sure what the facts are. I wasn't 100% sure, not exactly the most high-tech system set up. I wasn't sure these lights could even go off when you close the door. So what would you call that? I want to close the door. What would you call it? What? So it's a suffix. It's almost like a suffix degree. Because I don't understand the system. I don't know what's going on. It's not like I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I personally don't know what's. If I had understood electricity well enough, I could look at this whole system and I would see. Yeah, this is exactly what's going to happen. If I look at x-ray vision, I'd see inside, yeah, this is what's going to happen. This is almost like a psik reisha, like a suffix psik reisha, where the suffix is l'sha'avar. So what's it then? So what should that depend upon? So according to Mishnah Berurah's hachra, that if what's involved is a potential deraisa, so then we should probably refrain according to Mikveh, it's chum against the Taz, against the Ramban. So Mishnah Berurah is not so quick to be making so fast on a suffix psik reisha. But if he is on a Ramban, then Mishnah Berurah gives you a green light. Then he thinks it's mutter. So this is a shaila, is the turning off of this light, and tumah is going to happen, is this what? Is this a deraisa or not? So it's turning off a light of deraisa or not? So even let's say a worst case scenario, I don't remember what it is. Let's say it's incandescent, but I don't remember. Even if it's incandescent, is it deraisa? Do we know? What could easily knock this down to the derabana?
It's going to be a grumble, it's not like a,
you made it happen right away. It's another story. Live and show when the light's going to go on. That's tricky because we usually assume, like turning on lights, even though it's also, there are a couple of things along the way, but it's
so we usually assume that's the regular light, normally you turn it on, then the old has a little bit, but this in itself, the door is closing, and then it probably.
Perfect, yeah, maybe, I don't know, I have to learn grumble, but maybe.
Maybe it's shooting.
Okay, that would be an interesting idea, but we're not shooting. Just turning off a light. Well, what malacha was involved in turning on of a light? So we assume Havara, it's incandescent, it's in the worst case scenario. Sometimes for wrestling. So let's say the worst case scenario, your good old Thomas Edison's light bulb, if you have a piece of metal, there's a little strip of copper inside, right? How does it work? Who here knows anything about physics? Electricity? No. No one going with some kind of electrician here? Who knows about these kinds of things? No, he knows? Come on, you know these things, huh? You know those kinds of things? Then you got a little, what does a light bulb look like? Good old light bulb. It's a little piece of strip of copper. There's a filament inside, right? So you shoot some electrons that heats up, causes a release of energy or something or other, right? And that causes the filament to get hot and it glows, right? It makes light. That was an old electric. So making a piece of metal glow is a very, very serious problem. We assume that's Havara deraisa. If that's Havara deraisa, then extinguishing the light, right, turning off the switch and pulling away the light in a sense, making it go down, what malach is that? That's kibbutz, right? So that's kibbutz deraisa, right? Why not? Oh, yes, a whole other story. Yeah. That's called mistapik b'shem and shebiner. The only problem is the Gemara says if I have a candle burning, and let's say I start to pull some of the oil away, so that makes the candle go out. That is clean. That is a deraisa. If you want to know why it's not grubba, that's your kasha. I know that's what's bothering you. So that's machlokes tzaddikim from the Rosh, why it's not grubba. It's a good question. Very good question, but enough now. So bottom line, what's the rabbanim here? You guys know it. You should know it. In order to be deraisa, what does it have to be? Malach hawa? Why did they light fire? Why did they extinguish fires in the Mishkan? Because they were putting out the fires to make the coals, to be able to melt the metal, to be able to continue doing the Klal Mishkan. They didn't just not put out fires to save a couple of dollars from the PSNG bills. They put out the fires in order to be able to create coals. Therefore, the Gemara says in the second part of Shabbos, if you extinguish a flame for any other reason except to, in a sense, use what's being extinguished, that cannot be a deraisa. So if you're having a barbecue and you're trying to blow out the flame in order to be able to make now have a good geshmak of coals to put your meat on top of the coals, that's a deraisa. Or let's say you're lighting Shabbos candles. On Friday afternoon, some people have a minig. They light the wick first a little bit, and then they blow it out. Why do they blow it out? To make the wick a little bit better. It means the purpose of extinguishing is to improve the item that you're extinguishing. That's a blacha tzricha legufa. That's like carrying a sefer. But a person who's putting out a fire because they want to save money on the gas, you're putting it out of fire because you don't want something to burn down. That is, at worst, the malach shetzi l'gufa. And that, if we pass it against the Rambam, against the Rebbe, we pass it against the Shimon, that cannot be a deraisa. So extinguishing, it's putting out, closing a light, turning off a light, cannot be a deraisa. Unless you hold like a different sheet of lagamer, unless you hold like chazanishas with bonus, with different stuff, that's already a whole other ballgame. But if you go with other approaches, that the real deraisa of lighting fires was havara, then the putting out of an electric light can only be a malach she'etzich l'guf. It's mutter, but it's a malach she'etzich l'guf. If that's the case, that the worst case scenario is a malach she'etzich l'guf of kibbutz, then we're in business. Why are we in business? What? Why are we in business? So then you have a suffix psik reisha, which is only a suffix, only because a suffix after is vaday, and it's a suffix on a derabanan, so a suffix on a derabanan is going to be mutter.
And your suffix, efshel bar, you can add You can ask somebody what the.
So the question is, so now you want to say that the Berman's timing that if you go like the Taz, it's a suffix, it's all sfeikus or all mutter because Dovshem is kavin, all Dovshem is kavin, then I don't think it's bad. But you're looking at the Kedegar, and the Mishnah Berurah is qualifying this and saying that the only reason I'm going to be matter against Rabbi Kedegar is because it's only a Durabbanan anyway, so then you're stuck with the regular rules of suffix Durabbanan, which is supposed to try to be Mavar. Okay, you have to figure out who to Mavar with, who knows the answer to this question. The average guy, you have to go walk for 3 miles to find an electrician and stuff. You don't have to do that kind of stuff. You're right. You should ask around a little bit. Anyone knows? I asked some of the guys in Shul. Nobody had any idea. Nobody knew anything. Of course, Kobe is. He would be able to tell us. But the bottom line, nobody knew. I was knighted to say that the Ikra Din, it's really mutter. We have a few other Tzirufim here also. What are some of the other Tzirufim? Even if it's a Psegresha, right? It's still a Psegresha on a what? On the Rabbanon, right? It's only Psegresha on the Rabbanon, which again, according to the Transdashim Mordechai, is outright mutter. Even if Psegresha the Nichale on the Rabbanon is mutter. And this is a Psegresha the what? Is this Nichale alo Nichale? What do you think? Nichale alo Nichale? I think it depends on what? On who's closing the door. What are you doing? This guy in the shul or one of you guys? The guy in the shul, he pays the bills. So the PSA&G bill is going to be, he doesn't, guys sometimes go around the shul closing lights. The person doesn't want the light to be on. A guy comes for Shabbos. You guys, tell me the truth. You guys care if our Torah loses one infinitesimal penny in their electric bills? Everyone's going to have a terrible heart attack from that. Those guys will survive that. I don't see you guys coming to my house every Shabbos, every Friday afternoon closing all the extra lights. I don't see. Where's the Monsieur Snappish for the Rebbe's money? Come on, I don't see. That's what used to be Makel in remember when we learned the Sugis as a Rei and Shabbos. So the Ramah quotes from Rishonim that you're not supposed to eat and drink of the grass, because even though I'm not pouring the water, but there's a chance that some of the water may spill over. So it's a chum, it's already a minig. So the Mishnah Berurah is not, but that minig only applies to if someone who is in a Psegresha the Nichalei. It means if it's my grass, so I'm not pouring on the grass. I'm drinking my cup of soda, I'm drinking my cup of water. But there's a chance that some of it may spill over, so it's a minig not to do it. Because it's like a chashash of a little bit of a psegresha. So Mishnah Berurah sounds that only applies if it's my grass, not if it's somebody else's grass. I used to always wonder about the shul's grass. And is the shul's grass considered to be a nichalel or nichalel? So when I was a Rav in Paramus, they asked me this question. I thought that we could be mekel. The only person who I didn't want to eat on the grass in Paramus was the fellow who used to, one of the balabatim, he used to take upon himself to mow the lawn all the time. He always work on the grass for the shul. It was a very strange psach. Everybody else who nobody bothered to help out the shul. So I let them all enjoy the kishas. I made immediate food inside the house because for him it was nichale. So in Orat Torah, since most of the people in the shul, I couldn't care less about the grass in the back. I don't notice anybody losing any sleep over whether my grass grows or doesn't grow. Everyone saw I noticed the square where it doesn't grow. I said, we have mamash. Because of the sukkah, the shul sukkah that's there in the back for 1 week, so somehow there's a klal on that, the grass doesn't grow. And mamash presses so much down on the grass, killed the seeds, whatever it is. You can see it even in the wintertime when there's no grass, you can still see the marks of the sukkah. And never really, that grass never grows properly. So I don't see anybody getting too upset about it. The balabat, no come crying and coming to volunteer to mow my lawn for me. So therefore, I let everybody eat, and all the kiddushes, I let them eat in the backyard. But I don't eat in the backyard. So I always eat. I always make kiddush on the steps or something, or in the our regular sukkahs on the porch and on our deck. But the shul sukkahs in the back. So once in a while, we eat in the shul sukkah, so I'll throw a garbage bag down or something on the floor. So it's not with dirty garbage. It's a clean garbage bag. So I'll put that down on the floor. So I shouldn't be a problem with the Ramah. It's a minute of not eating over grass to get care of it. So maybe the same thing here also. For the fellows who really care about the electric bills, so maybe they shouldn't be the one to close the garage for everybody else. It's not the Yishlachos. That was the psach that we gave, give or take, yesterday. Okay. Anyway, getting back to that story. So we're still trying to just to put the loose ends in terms of the sukkah psikresh. Here we touched on this major, major machlokes taz and Rebbe Kedegar, which ultimately emanated from the Ramban and that. So yeah, and it could be the other Rishonim didn't give the teretz. Toises didn't give the teretz. Right, we give it all the teretz. Well, the Rishonim gave the teretz. Maybe they disagree with the Ramban. Maybe that's not why the Rabbi gave the other teretz that the Ramban didn't like. Maybe that's why Toises didn't give the teretz. So you can't tell why the other Rishonim disagree with the Ramban. Maybe they just didn't think the Metzias was right, and maybe they really disagreed fundamentally in love with the Ramban. But at the end of the day, a lot of the discussions we already saw in the words of the Taz are revolving around these flies and boxes and deer and houses, all these kind of psikration of Shemishkavim, which takes us really to the last part of the psikration part of the sugya, which is the Gemara Maseches Beitza, which is going to be the bulk of what we're going to start with tomorrow. So the Gemara in Maseches Beitza is actually not talking about flies, it's not even talking about deer, it's talking about what? Everyone saw? I put in the Ma'amar Kamos? Beitza Lamedvav? Did I put it in Lamedvav? It's talking about bees. So a guy has a beehive, and he's got inside the beehive, he's got these honeycombs. Do you know what the honeycombs are? Who knows about bees? Come, you know about this also? No. You know about keep, but you know about bees?
I speak to bee makers.
Let me send to you.
No, people in security yards.
Good. So we know about bees.
They go out and make
the
pollen, they make the honey, and
then... Okay, I knew that. I'm sleeping with the beekeeper. Okay, good. So you got this hive, you know, inside these, you have these, the chalos dvash, right? That's what they are. These honeycombs inside this. Yeah, it's unbelievable. You should show, if you want a mamash, one of the billions of things to see in this world, but my God, Masech Hashem, bees is the most unbelievable thing. Lo yuman ki supar, right? The garden, they're unbelievable how they figure this all out. They don't figure it out. We might as well put it into them to figure this out. All you have to do is just read one article about bees, and then if you believe in the Rebbeinu Shlom, you're absolute shaita. It's beyond belief. It's lo yuman ki supar, the godless of a bee. Yeah, you agree? Maskim, okay.
Queen bee has.
Yeah. It's kabbalah. Okay. Anyway, so fine. So Chazal figured this all out already. So you have this kaveris, you have this beehive, and you have this the honeycombs that are sitting there the whole winter time. The honeycombs that are sitting around, and you want to make sure that they don't get ruined. It's going to rain. It's going to snow. It's going to hot. It's cold. You want to try to cover up to protect this beehive. See, on Shabbos, you want to throw a purse machzel, you want to throw up a sheet, you want to throw a shmat or something to protect the beehive. What's the problem? When you throw the shmat on the beehive, what's going to be the problem? Imtim salam, there what? If there are bees inside, then you have a big problem, a problem of tzeda. Now you're trapping the bees. The bees can't get in and out of the hive. So the Gemara's whole discussion in Beit Shlomo involved was the same, almost identical sugya in the end of the third paragraph of Shabbos about the permissibility, lack thereof, throwing the shmat on top of the beehive. So when all the dust settles, it basically boils down to an issue of a psik ratio. The Gemara says, at least what the Gemara presents it a little bit different in Shabbos and Beitza, but the Gemara presents it's a potential shaila of a psik ratio. And even though your intent is not really, you don't really want to stop the bees right now. You don't mind the bees that fly around. Your goal is to protect the honey inside. So af al pi chein, that's a potential problem of a psik ratio. So you would have to do it in a way that wouldn't be a psik ratio. You got a whole sug in the Gemara, how do you go about pulling that off? But there's a fundamental problem here. It's also a speculation that poses. So the Rishonim have a big machlokes about whether everything that appears in the sugya in Masechta Shabbos happens to be talking about bees. Is there any reason to believe that we should or should not carry this over to flies? What's the difference of bee a fly? Bee is this and fly is that. Who cares? What is this? It seems to be a trivial distinction. So that seemingly trivial distinction is going to make all the possible difference in the world. And hopefully that's going to set the stage for us for tomorrow to discuss the famous sheet of Rebbeinu Baruch about sitting on the box with flies in it, which is going to become the role, the model, the illustration of many, many of the things we've been talking about up to this point. They're now all going to converge together in the discussion of the Rishonim about bees and flies. How different are bees and flies in terms of the sugya? That's going to put together the last piece of segregation. Hopefully that's from tomorrow, so we're going to try to work on that. And then we have to just put a couple odds and ends left over, because we shouldn't forget that all these sugyas all revolved around Lamgilim of days, about Latzvicha, Yisro Shana Charite. So I guess we finished the Lima, we didn't finish yet on the June's line, but to finish tomorrow will be hopefully the last formal shiur of the Zman of the year. So we'll come back a little bit to Sukkah stuff. Come back to we left the Hadassim hanging somewhere. We've totally forgot about them, but we're going to come back to tomorrow, the very end, the Shiraim of the Sugya as it relates to Lamed Gimel Beis. We have a little bit more work to do in Beitz and Lamed Vav, and then come back to Sukkah Lamed Gimel. So tomorrow.